Well, Merry Christmas. Hey guys, so glad to have you here on Christmas Eve. If we've not met, my name's Clay. I'm one of the pastors here. We're thrilled that you could join us for Christmas Eve. How many of you kids are excited? I'm just curious. How many kids get to open a present tonight? I'm just curious across the space here. You lucky kids. We never let my kids do that, and I'm still not going to let my kids do that. No matter what is here. Yeah, we're thrilled for you guys. I know tomorrow is exciting. I have all the memories of being a kid, and I just could not sleep on this evening, and I get it. It's just a great time for you to be here, and we're thrilled that you're here. And, you know, it's Christmas Eve, and as we're getting into Christmas Eve, there's a little bit of pressure that goes on to just about every pastor around in the region, because generally, if you don't know this about church, there are two times a year that people will come or come back to church, and it's Christmas and it's Easter. And so at Christmas time, you already know what we're going to preach about. So it's not like I can surprise you or trick you with anything, right? And so the pressure is kind of always on, like, how do you say something about Christmas that can be meaningful and helpful and all these things? And so to do that, I've been kind of reading through the Christmas story and just looking for some general insights. And this year, as I was reading through, I found something that jumped out of the story that I know is true of me. And I'm pretty sure that it's true of you, and it intersects so well with this story that we, they've just shared here in the Christmas story. It's amazing to me how at all the different stages of life, and no matter where we're at, how all of us have this insatiable desire for life to make sense, right? There's just something inside of us that wants to connect all the dots in life. So when some event or something happens, we want to be able to say, well, I understand why that happened. I get it, because this is related to this, which is related to that. And I know that it's true of me. I'm always trying to figure out, well, why would that happen? And what is the purpose behind that? Because I just want to know why. And I think it's there in all of us. And it isn't just a Christian thing. It's not a religious thing. I think it's something that's built into all of us. You know, we want to say, well, you know, I got married and this was exactly what I was supposed to do. And I met the person when we were supposed to meet. And then we got engaged. And then I got that cool promotion. And then we had a kid. And then we got that kid and they were able to go through school and they graduated and they went on to this school. And we kind of connect all the dots. And, oh, well, this is exactly why all of these things happen. And every time someone or something hands me an event, there's something inside of me, and I think it's inside of you as well, that wants to be able to connect that to all the other things. And again, it's a human thing. I've got a little puppy at home who is just either sleeping or eating or playing, right? That's what she does. And while she's napping, I don't think that she is thinking, well, I wonder how today's nap relates to yesterday's nap and how that's going to connect to tomorrow's nap. I just don't think that that is rolling through her head. But it is in us. We just want to be able to say, why are all these events happening? Why are these things going on? And not just when things are going good, they happen when we're bad. But because this is a universal thing, let me prove it to you. In every culture, in every language set, there are words or phrases that we say that express this desire in us that we just want things to be related. We want things to be connected. As I was thinking about, one of them is this. Everything happens for a reason. You ever said that? Everything happens for a reason. I mean, you've probably said that. I know that you've heard that. Like, why do you say that? You know, well, you know, something happened. You say, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. Well, why? Well, I don't want to think about why. I just want to say there's just something in me that says everything happens for a reason. I don't understand, but it does. Well, how about another one? Well, I don't believe in coincidence. Like, something happens. I go, well, what a coincidence is that? And then you'll say, well, I don't believe in coincidences. Well, why don't you believe in coincidences? Well, I don't really know why I don't. I just have to believe that there's something that connects all these things together, right? You know, it's God or karma or something, whatever your belief system is. I just believe something connects all these things together. Or you just haven't met the right person yet. How about that one? Right? You know, you're talking to someone and they're in a bad relationship that's going on and you want to say, well, you just haven't met the right person yet. Really? Does that mean that I am going to meet the right person? Like, are you sure? Are you confident in that? That's absolutely going to happen? Well, I mean, you know, don't press me too hard on that. There's something in me that says, I just want it to happen for you, that you're going to meet the right person. Or the other one that gets said a lot, well, I guess it just wasn't meant to be. How about that one? Something doesn't go right. You're looking forward to something. It's a great big deal. And you have this massive disappointment. And someone says, well, I guess it just wasn't meant to be. Like, seriously? Really? Like, well, when can it be meant to be? Because I want to meet the meant to be-er, right? I want it to work out. I want it to be. There's just something inside of us, right, that wants, that yearns. It's even in our language. It says, no, against all odds and against all rational thinking, I just want something to be able to connect. And we say all these things because of that. And it really comes into play when someone hits a big bump in life. When something really major goes on, then the questions start coming. Why? Well, why did that happen? Or why did God let that happen? Why did God allow that happen? When you're facing a big tragedy, or someone you know is facing a big tragedy, and there's just an extraordinary amount of pain, there is something inside of you that just wants to know why, as if you could connect it to some other thing, it would make it better. Think about a divorce. I mean, no one ever plans for a divorce. I mean, we joke about it, but no one ever meets a woman and says, you're awesome. That's my future ex-wife right there, guys. But no one ever plans for that. They plan for, I'm going to meet someone, and we're going to go, and we're going to get married, and we're going to have kids, and we're going to grow old together. That's what the plan is. And then when it doesn't work out, the questions are there, right? Kids, you know this. You're asking, you know, mom and dad, and they split up, and the kids are going, well, why? Why is that going on? Or sickness? I mean, everything was going along in your life and it's going really well, and then you got that diagnosis and that thing, and all of a sudden that's not what I wanted to hear and that's not the news. And why? What's going on behind this? How could this possibly be connected? Is there anything that good that could come out of this? You see, regardless of what you believe, regardless of wherever you're at in the faith journey, when things bad happen, you find yourself digging around in the purpose pile. Like, I've got to figure out why this would happen. I need to make sense out of what is going on here. And I know it looks random, but someday, one day, someday, 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 I'm going to understand why. And it's built into all of us. Now, as Christians, we kind of have an answer to that. Why is it that we have this built into us? Why do we always ask and we want to put it together? Well, as Christians, what we believe is that you, every single person, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, no matter what your background is, what your belief is, we believe that every single human being is made in the image of God. That you are got the thumbprint of God on your life. And God is someone who brings order out of chaos. God is someone who takes bad things and turns them and allows good things to come from them. God can take a mess and he can turn it into a beautiful mess. And the reason that something is churned inside of you, the reason we believe that as Christians, is because you are made in the image of God. And when you do that, you are reflecting back who you were meant to be. You see, some of you, that's how you wound up coming to faith. It's because maybe you succeeded in life and you did all these great things in life, but when you got to some point in your life, you got to the place where you said, I need to make sense. There's got to be more than just making money. There's got to be more than just accomplishing a goal. There's got to be something bigger. And what you did when you sat down and you said, there's got to be meaning and purpose in life, you were led to this thing. Well, God created me for something. And that's what many of us in this space, we were led to faith on some sort of journey that was just as simple as that. You see, the image of God, and in the image of God, there's plan, there is purpose. And because I am a child of God, there should be a plan and a purpose for me. Now, all of this collides with the Christmas story. Because the Christmas story, in some ways, is the preeminent example of God coming into the sheer randomness of life and coming into what would otherwise be just a bad news story or an everyday story where someone would forgotten. And doing something amazingly extraordinary where God intervenes with humankind and with mankind, and he brings across purpose and plan and makes sense out of what's going on. So to do that, I'm going to go and we're going to read a portion, not the entire Christmas story, because it's a really long story, plus we just heard it. I want to read some portions, and then I want to come back and reflect on this whole idea of purpose and meaning and finding my place. So in Luke chapter 1, Luke is a physician. Luke is someone who went and researched all of the facts, okay? He went and talked to all the eyewitnesses, and when he gathered together the sum of all the eyewitnesses, he wrote those things down, and this is what the book of Luke is. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, he says this, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of the king David. Now, at this point in the story, we don't know much about Mary. Certainly at this point, you know, we've all heard of Mary, but at this point, Mary is just a young teenage girl. We don't know anything from her. She doesn't really come from any kind of importance in family or anything. She's just a young woman who's been told, you are about to get married. She's probably never even met Joseph at this point. Someone said, Mary, you're going to meet Joseph. And on your wedding day, we're going to say, Mary, meet Joseph. Joseph, meet Mary. You guys probably don't love each other now, but you'll figure it out. And then the plan is, okay, so I'm going to get married, and then I guess I'm going to fall in love with this guy, and then we're going to, you know, and then there's going to be a baby, and we're going to have kids, and we're going to raise these kids, and if I get to stay in good health long enough, maybe possibly I can see some grandkids, and then I'm going to die, and then you're going to bury me, and I'm just going to go back into the dust of this forgotten country, and that's going to be the end of my life, just a blip in the universe. This is Mary's story, but God, in this point, in this period, decided he's going to touch down to remind you and to remind me that God is a God who wants to be involved. He wants to be involved in your life. He wants to be involved in mankind. So as the story goes, this angel, Gabriel, appears to her and he says, greetings, favored woman. Some translations say most favored of God. Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Now this is important to understand. You remember those words. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel would mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her. For you have found, there it is again, favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be the very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. So he says here, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Before you came into this space, how many of you had ever heard the words the Son of God used to describe Jesus? Whether you grew up in church, have a religious experience or not, how many of you have ever heard, not that you believe that, not asking that, that you've heard the word Son of God associated with the name Jesus? How many would say that before you came in here? Yeah, look around. So what he said came true. You see, at this point, though, your baby's going to be the Son of God? Seriously? Get out of here. Well, it's come true. And then she asks him, you know, a very poignant question right here. You know, we want to just breeze right past this as pastor. We don't like to ask this, but Mary's kind of curious. Just said, I'm about to have a baby. And she asked the question, verse 34, how can this happen? I am a virgin. Now, we got kids in this space. We're not going to explain, you know, too much of how things normally happen. But I believe that the angel says, okay, look, I need to calm you down, so let's talk about how this is going to happen. So he says, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. That would be my wife and I's worst fear. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month, for the word of God will never fail. And then Mary has this amazing response on everything that she has heard at this point. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. So this angel shows up and he says, hey, you're going to have a baby. He's going to be the Son of God. We just proved here that everybody has associated with that. But then it says the angel left her. This is the point when Mary's life goes back to normal. This is the point when just normal everyday things begin to happen and all the normalcy of life happens. And actually, it's a subnormal life. Things get worse for Mary. You can imagine this. After this message, she is now a pregnant teenager. Right? A pregnant teenager with no explanation on how she was pregnant, sent on a week-long journey, 9 months pregnant, to get to the birthplace, the birth home of her husband, future husband. Ladies, when you were 9 months pregnant, how many of you would want to go on a 120-mile hike? Or to ride on the back of a donkey? It doesn't matter how. Well, some of you got desperate. You would have said, yeah, donkey, horse, whatever. But this is not what she was thinking, like, this is not what I want to do. And then when she arrives, we all know the story, she gets there, and like Joseph had not planned ahead, he had not gone to Trivago and booked a room. And there's no room, and there's no room, and they wind up sleeping basically in the dung pile with the animals. And this is Mary's life. And I'm sure there were days that went by when Mary was sitting there and the angel is gone, and she is thinking, hey, angel, come back. I got some questions. You got to answer things because my mama's asking questions. You need to explain to her. My math teacher is asking questions. You need to explain to him how I am pregnant because things are not looking good. And what about this? What's up with this trip? What's up? And on, you can imagine that she would have had like, where did you go? You just like blew in and then you disappeared. Remember what the angel said. It said, you are the favorite of God, that you're special. God knows your name. Yet, a lot of random things happen in life and things get worse. We know the story of Jesus, so now we have a mom who has to live with the knowledge that many of her friends, and you remember, this is Joseph's hometown, so family members, their children were slaughtered and killed by King Herod in an attempt to take out and kill her own child. And Mary would have had to live with that with the rest of her life, asking the question, why? I mean, you were able to give me a message. You were able to tell me to get out of town. How come you couldn't tell everyone else? Why did all these babies have to die? Seems kind of random. It seems kind of cruel. Why would this take place? And then the most unimaginable sorrow that any parent would have to go through. You see, Jesus, at 33 years old, her son, she's at the foot. She watches him be beaten to the edge of his life. She watches him be mocked. She watches him have a crown of thorns put on the foot. The blood is flowing everywhere. She saw the gore. She smelled the gore. She watched him nailed to a cross, the most cruel Roman punishment that could have ever taken place, because it takes so long to die, and that's how the Romans wanted it. And she sat and watched her baby boy die. Now, we romanticize it, and we put crosses up everywhere, and we talk about it. But in that moment for this mom, that is my son. And he's dying. And now he's dead. And I imagine in those moments, Mary is still saying, why? You see, there's no words of angels showing up after the birth. There's just random events happening. There's a little boy that is growing up. At 12 years old, there's a little bit of a message. Something happens in the temple. But from birth to 30 years old, there's nothing. Just random events in life. God, why would you show up? And then what about all these things that are happening? What is going on here? But you see, God hadn't lost control. God hadn't abandoned his plan. In fact, God was at the very epicenter of changing the world, for bringing restoration and bringing freedom. His greatest involvement in the world is that he sent his son. And that thing in you, and that thing in me that wants to bring order out of chaos, that thing in you that looks at when things and random events that are bad and terrible and why would this happen and what is going on there, that thing that is in you that this just has to make sense, is the thumbprint of God. And on Christmas, we are reminded that even when it seems random, even when it seems purposeless, even when it seems like life is just doing no good, and there's this unredeemable illness, and there's this unredeemable job loss, and there's this unredeemable ending of a marriage or this dissolution of a relationship, this unredeemable loss of someone close to you, in the midst of that, and you're thinking there's just no way that this is planned, there's no way that these dots could be put together, at Christmas we're reminded, God with us. God is with us. And he can make sense out of things that are seemingly purposelessness. He can do extraordinary things. And the big takeaway that I had as I was reading through this Christmas story and as I was thinking through this was this phrase. I'd always heard, you know, prayer or big faith, it just moves God. And maybe you grew up in a church and you said, you know, big faith is what moves God. And it kind of hit me. That no, it's not that faith moves God. Perfect faith is the faith that moves us to trust God even when it seems like he isn't moving. Right? Perfect faith is the faith that says, look, God, I'm going to trust you even when it doesn't seem like you're moving. That all this randomness is happening, I'm just going to put faith and trust in you. Perfect faith is a faith that says, you know, things didn't go like I planned. I mean, we got engaged like I planned, and maybe I got married like I planned, but I didn't plan on this divorce. I didn't plan on my kids having, you know, separate homes. That was not in the plan. I didn't plan on losing my job. I mean, I was always employed. I was always the person, I was the last person that was ever going to get fired, and now I find myself in that position. I never planned on losing my child. I never planned on losing my spouse. Perfect faith is the faith that trusts God even when it doesn't seem like he is moving. It is what the last verse that we read that Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Now here's the good news. regardless of what life has handed you, regardless of what you're experiencing, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of the fact that you're trying to find purpose and you can't seem to find purpose, the idea that you're trying to connect all these things is a good thing. It is God in you, that thing in you that says, well, this can't be random. It just can't be just a series of disconnected things. There's got to be some reason or some purpose. That thing is the thumbprint of God on your life. And the good news is that God is active in your life, whether you're realizing it and recognizing it or not. He is active in your world, and he has a plan for your life. So in light of all of that, I want to be able to pray for us today. And you may have come into this space, and you may have had a series of random things that have happened in your life, and maybe those things have been bad things. And maybe the last few weeks have been really, really bad. Maybe the last few months, or maybe it's just kind of been one heck of a year. It's just been one bad thing after another. And maybe you're experiencing some of the things I'm talking about. Job loss has hit you, and it's hit you hard, and it just seems like you're not going to be able to claw back out of it. Or maybe divorce has landed in your home, or maybe your marriage is on the rocks and things are struggling, or kids, maybe things aren't right with mom and dad, or maybe you're struggling at school. I don't know what you came in here with, but right now, whatever it is you're staring at and you're wondering, what do I do with this? Why is this happening to me? Because this is not how I planned it. This is not what I wanted to see go. And if you were honest with me, you would say, hey, Clay, it's really difficult for me to trust God right now because I've been so disappointed and I've been so let down. But I'm here to tell you, you can be like Mary. And you can have the same words and say, look, may everything you have said about me come true. God, you can connect all the dots. And the good news is that here on this day, God wants to begin to connect those dots for you. Whatever has happened in your life, God can redeem it for good. And here's what I'd like us to do in just a minute. And I get that this is going to pull some of you guys out of your comfort zone and some different things. If you've got some things that are going on in your life, what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and come down forward, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And when we get to that point of service, I just want you to hold it up, because here's the truth of the matter. You're going to hold your hand up and you're going to look around. There's going to be some that aren't holding their hands up, but they could have held it up 6 months ago, I promise you. Some of you are going to raise your hand and say, yeah, I mean, life is hitting me really hard. And you're going to hold your hand up, you're going to look to someone and they're not, but 6 months from now, they would raise their hand. You see, that's just the way life works. And as Pastor Joseph said as he came out here, whatever your story is, whatever is going on, it's safe here. We have walked through all kinds of stuff with people. We've walked through, I don't want to go into all of it with all the kids here. We walked through some rough stuff with people. Your story is safe. But it begins by you on this Christmas receiving a Christmas present from the Father and allowing us to pray with you that says, yeah, this is a tough season. I got a lot of random events that just don't make sense to me. And I really would like God to make some sense out of what is going on. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pray for us, but before we get to that and pray for you, I would just ask, how many of you in this space, you would say, yeah, that's me. In the last few weeks, the last few months, or this last season of life, I got a lot of random bad things that have happened, and I just want God to make sense of that for me. Whatever that means, I just want to be able to know, how can I connect all these dots? Would you just raise your hands? Just raise it up high. All over the space. Yeah, I want you to hold it there so it's not a put up and get down. This is what I want us to do. Those of you, just look around. If you see someone that's close to you and they got their hand up, I just want you to pray for them. If you know them and you came with them, you can reach out, you can touch them. If you don't know them, don't touch them. That's weird. I just want you to, I'm going to give you a moment to just pray a prayer. You can pray something simple like, God, help them find reason, help them find meaning, help them find purpose in the random stuff that's going on in their life. Let me give you a moment to do that. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to pray with us. So let's all just pray for each other for a moment here. So Heavenly Father, we believe that nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is too difficult for you. We believe that nothing takes you by surprise. And Father, I pray for every single person here who would say, hey, I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. I don't know what my next step is. I don't know where to go from here. God, would you give them the wisdom to know what to do with what they've just heard, and then the courage to do it. And I pray over them the peace that surpasses all comprehension, that you would guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. Father, for those of us who are here today and we're not sure where we stand with you. In fact, I'm here, I'm just happy someone's praying for me because it's been a long time since I've prayed. God, I pray for them in that moment that they would experience your peace, your grace in such a way that it draws their hearts to you. And that we would not be afraid to hope. We would not be afraid to wish. We would not be afraid to look into the future because we believe that just as our God was with Mary that morning, that our God is with us now. Emmanuel, God with us. And we pray all these things. Father, we pray them in the name of your Son and the one in whom we celebrate this day. In Jesus' name, amen.